Let me tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to tell you about what's coming. He's going to let you know some things before they happen so that you're functioning with foresight instead of hindsight like the world, or no sight like, I won't say it. I want you to think of a few things. First of all, people who function in hindsight when they are going through a crisis, when they function in hindsight, they get to the end of it, they look back and go, oh, we didn't die. But in the midst of it, let me tell you what they battle. In hindsight, people, they battle with stress. They battle with worry. They battle with discouragement. They battle with disappointment. They battle with disillusionment about God. How come? How come God's allowing this all to happen? Why would a loving God do this? Hindsight people, they struggle with anger. Hindsight people, they wrestle with fear. Hindsight people are complainers. Listen when they open their mouth, what it is that just comes drooling out. At the end of it, they change their tone. But in the midst of it, you couldn't tell them apart from those of the world. I would love to be able to say that in the body of Christ, there is not a single hindsight person. That is not the truth. But the heart of God is to be a foresight person, a person who looks forward, and there's a belief inside of them that says, I know that this will work out. We'll talk about that in a second. I just want to say this for the sake of some of you. I'll say it twice. You can write it down. It's a little bit longer. I want to say it for the sake of having it recorded. We've all heard the statement that says this: it is not hard to leave everything in God's hand when you can see God's hand in everything. It is not hard to leave everything in God's hand when you can see God's hand in everything. Let me tell you, the hindsight person, they cannot see the hand. The foresight person, they see the hand of God in everything. Let me give you a couple fruits of the foresight person. As they're going through it, we're going to talk about Joseph right away. As they're going through it, in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of everything that seems to be going backwards, you will find the foresight person having peace. You won't find it on the hindsight, you'll find it on the foresight. You will find the foresight person, they are a person who has patience. They are a person who has faithfulness. They just believe that it's going to work. You will find the foresight person in the midst of all that's going wrong, continuing to be obedient. The hindsight person loses their obedience and go, ho, I got to respond to the flesh. Ho, I got to respond to fear. The foresight person will walk in obedience. It doesn't matter what storm is going on. They have foresight. They will not change. Of all the people in Scripture, we've talked about this before, of all the people in Scripture that God has used to capture my heart and to challenge me in so many areas, it is the person of Joseph. That is the person. I want you to understand, at the very beginning, before everything began, before the crisis in Joseph's life began, I want you to understand that Joseph had a word. Would you write down? A foresight person is a person who has a word before anything begins. They have a word. That word is a word that kind of becomes an anchor in their life. Can I tell you? A hindsight person has no word. They're floundering. The foresight person has a word. If I were to ask you, what was the word that Joseph had before the storms began manifesting in his life, what was the word? And break that word down. It could be a vision that God gave. It could be a dream. Joseph had a dream at the very beginning. We know the dream. Somebody's going to ask Joseph and say, why, when you got the dream, did you boast about it with your brothers? Somebody's going to ask him. I think his outcome might have been different if he hadn't shared it. Do you think that? Can I just say to you off on the side, I challenge you not to share every dream God gives you. Can I tell you why? Because the odd person will go, that's awesome. They will encourage you. The vast majority will go, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then there are going to be a few who turn on the fire hose and go, that won't happen. Joseph's 11 brothers turned on the fire hose. Do you remember? And it really endeared their heart to him, didn't it? But I want to tell you, before the crisis began, Joseph had a word. The word was, in the dream, one day you are going to be lifted up and everybody, including your father, are going to be bowing down to you. He had a word. He knew it was from the Lord, didn't understand it, but he had a word before he began. Can I tell you really clearly? Foresight people, this word is what allows them to interpret what's happening through the word and see it differently. Let me give you an example. I was 18 years of age. I'd gone to 1 year of Bible school. I was only going to do 1 year, was going to head to university, take law. That summer, God captured my heart, said, I want you to go back to Bible school. I phoned the university, said, I'm not coming this year. Went back to Bible school. It was October of that year in the basement of my parents' home in my bedroom having devotions one night, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've already been there. I'm reading it. All of a sudden, I didn't hear him audibly, but I heard the Spirit of God say, Colin, I'm calling you into ministry for the rest of your life. Can one word from God change everything? I want to tell you, it was 13 years, 1980, October 1980, until January 1st, 1994, 13 years from the call until I began ministry. In that period of time, can I tell you, all of the things that came at me to abort my call to ministry, I'm not going to tell you all. I want to tell you two. One good one, one bad one. In that period of time, my boss, I was working as a commercial insulator in the midst of my university and seminary. My boss came to me and my boss said, Colin, I would like you to buy in and be a partner. When I began at the company, there was only 4 people. Didn't take long. I've told you before, I began in the company. 6 months after I began, my boss came to me and said, Colin, I'm raising your wage like this and I'm making a retroactive to the day you began. My boss came to me and said, Colin, I would like a partner. We're getting larger. I would like you to be a partner. That company now is in 4 different cities in Canada. That company is a multi-million dollar company. He opened the door and said, Colin, I would like you to do that. I looked at my boss, I said his first name, and I said, I appreciate the offer. This is a man who would take his family, he'd buy a motorhome, he'd travel across Canada, he'd say, Colin, would you look after everything for me? He'd go, we'd live in his house, look after, run the company. I said, I appreciate the offer, but I have a call to ministry, I can't do it. Wasn't long after that, my wife, who was a manager at a spa lady in Edmonton, shortly after we were married, the owners came and said, Jane, we want to put you to be manager over the 8 clubs in the city. She began to manage all the managers. It was only a couple years after that that her boss sat down with Jane and I and said, we would like to give you the city of Vancouver. In 2 years, we will set you up. In 2 years, you'll make your first million. And by the 5th year, you'll have over $10 million. The city of Vancouver is wide open. Jane and I sat across the table. We were sitting in the restaurant. We looked at them and said, let me tell you why we can't do it. Because we had a call to ministry. Can I tell you, had we not had a word, had we not had a word from the Lord, when we are sitting there and when we have positive doors open up, when we have positive, if we didn't have a word, what would we have been tempted to do? A word held us when doors were wide open. And can I say this to you? There's a pile of times where doors will open, not because God is opening them. Do you know how many men have been called into ministry, but because they did not have a word, the devil opened a door and they went with that door and aborted ministry their entire life? Do not ever walk through an open door just because it's open. There are people who go, well, the door's open, so I guess that must mean God. No! Let me give you the flip side. Heading into ministry, I made the mistake of letting it be known. And because it was known, the pastor of our church was encouraging for me to go in ministry. Let our seminary in Saskatoon know that I had intent of going to ministry. I had to finish my university degree, secondary education. The last year of my university, I was assigned a seminary student advisor. Every student who goes to seminary gets an older pastor who is assigned to them. They're an advisor. I ended up getting an advisor who was a pro-homosexual advocate, an advisor who was as liberal as they come, an advisor who was absolutely opposed to evangelical Christianity. First thing he does when he phones me, he says, Colin, my name is so-and-so. I'm assigned to all the hard cases. I never knew I was a hard case until that phone call. That man did everything in his power to make sure I never entered ministry. I had to get an assessment from two different places before I would go to make sure that I was qualified psychologically and in every way. He was one who gave me an assessment. That man gave me a 1.5 out of 5. On his rating, he said, this man is not qualified for ministry. He does not have the gifting, does not have the aptitude, does not have the personality. I do not recommend him for ministry. I had to go get another assessment from a Christian counseling center who I sat with for 6 hours. They asked me all kinds of questions, 1,800 pictures they put in front of me and asked me, what do I see? We'll talk about that another time. At the end of that, I'll just tell you one really funny one. They showed me, one of the questions was, they say, do you see things other people don't see? I said, yes. Wrong answer. When they brought me back in, there were two questions that I had answered, and they said, we just need you to clarify. In here, you said you see things that other people don't see. What do you mean? I said, oh, that's no problem. I said, when we go hiking with our niece and nephew, because we didn't have kids, and when we go hiking with our niece and nephew, I'm the one who finds the squirrel in the tree and goes, hey, guys, look at the squirrel. And they go, oh. We thought you saw things that other people don't see. We settled that one. My assessment out of that place was a 4.9 out of 5. They looked and said, we recommend this man for ministry. Whoever gets him would be so blessed. They go, we're only giving a 4.5 because we never give 5, which means that a person always has room to improve, but they gave me a 4.5. When my 4.9 and my 1.5 went to seminary, how do you think they responded? I'll tell you how they responded. It was a very liberal seminary. They knew my advisor because they give him all the hard cases, don't you know? They looked at that, and because they had an independent assessment of 4.9 and a 1.5, they had to accept me, but they did so on probation, which means at any time, if I did not come in line, they had the freedom to kick me out for any reason. Partway through, my advisor gave them a reason. He contacted them and he said, it has come to my attention that Colin has a problem with women. I went to my sexual harassment person because our seminary had one. And I went to her and I said, are you aware of any problems I have with women? She goes, I'm not aware of any. I went to the president of the seminary and I said, are you aware that I have any problems with women? He goes, I'm not aware of any. I went to every one of my professors and said, are you aware that I have a problem with women? They go, we're not aware that you have any. I wrote back to my advisor and I said, I have spoken to all these people. None of them in this environment are aware that I have a problem with women. Could you reveal your source that I could go and clarify? He sent back to me and said, I don't have to tell you my source. You are now suspended. Can I tell you what held me in the midst of my storm? Jane and I had a word. When I went before the board and the advisory committee and I appealed it, the appeal was turned down and I was kicked out of seminary because my advisor said I had a problem with women. His whole agenda was to make sure that I never entered into ministry because I was a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing evangelical. We had a word. Can I tell you, Joseph had a word. I want you to hear that in Joseph's life, when Joseph's brothers took and threw him into a pit and they were waiting for him to die, what held him? What held him? A word? When he got out, they pulled him out. It's like, awesome, they're taking me out now. They're going to restore me. They took him out and sold him to the traders. What held him? He had a word. When he got to Egypt and he was on the slave block, you got to think about, he was the favored son, now standing on a slave block being sold to Potiphar. What held him? He had a word. When the wife of Potiphar came and falsely accused him, can I just say to you, if you have never been falsely accused, you will be. And when you are, there's got to be something more than the word that is being thrown at you that holds you, because if you don't have a word, that false accusation is going to torment you, it is going to tear you down, it is going to deflate you. When Joseph was accused of raping his boss's wife and ended up in jail, what held him? He had a word. 2 years later, when the two guys came from Pharaoh's court, the butler, the baker, the wine guy, when they came and he told them the dreams and he goes, remember me, give me a good word. And they forgot for how long? Another 2 years. What held him? Can I just say to you, there is a pile of believers who are living out there today, they don't have a word. They don't have an anchor. Something comes along that hits them. Oh! Somebody comes along and falsely accuses them. Oh! The stock market drops from here to here and their investments go sideways. Oh! If you don't have a word. I want to tell you bluntly. We're going to talk about this more in the weeks coming, but I want to say it to you really clearly. There is a pile of people who are saying in the last days there's going to be a massive harvest coming in. I believe that with all my heart. But I'll tell you, in the last days, there is going to be a great falling away before the church is raptured. And I'll tell you, every person who's going to fall away, I'll tell you. They are the people who don't have a word when crisis happens. They don't have a word that holds them solid so that they are foresight instead of hindsight people. Joseph had a word. And when his brothers stood before him in absolute fear that he was going to kill them, Joseph made a statement that he learned going through that entire trial, and it was this. You intended evil. The enemy intends evil in your life. But let me tell you an eternal truth that will hold you through every storm. What the enemy means for evil, God will take and do what? Turn it for good. I want to tell you today, if that's the only thing you remember out of this entire sermon, when crisis hits, for the people who have that word inside of them, that word will hold them. It doesn't matter what happens. God will take this and turn it for good. You can get a bad report with your health. People who have a word, foresight looking, going, the enemy means to affect me negative, God's going to turn this. Just watch him turn this for good. People who have an accident and they lose their job and they're hospitalized and can't, the people who have a word go, just watch. This isn't freaking me out. This isn't deflating me. This isn't moving me off in the direction to walk by fear. Just watch God turn this for good. I wish we could shove that into the heart and mind of every believer. If we could do that, Jesus would have shoved faith into every believer. Couldn't do that. What's the difference between people who have a word and people who don't have a word? What makes one believe and holds on to them and make another one flounder like they're hindsight people? What's the difference? I want to tell you, I want to give you a few things. Would you write these down and then you can look at them later? There is a crazy verse in Scripture about Joseph that when you look at it, it just makes absolute no sense in the mind because it was spoken to him about him while he was a slave in Egypt. He was a slave. Would you hear it? He got this word while he was a slave. And it says this, Joseph succeeded in everything he did. He was a slave, away from home. And the word of God says Joseph succeeded in everything he did. Why? Why? One word, would you write this down? Number one. Why did Joseph succeed? Because it says this, God was what? With him. God was with him. Can I tell you, foresight people have it in their mind. It doesn't matter what I go through. God is with me. Guess what hindsight people think? I'm alone. And they even say it. Where's God? Where's God in this? Where is he? If God was with me, this wouldn't be happening. Is that the truth? Joseph is in the bottom of the well. God is with him. He's walking behind camels for hundreds of miles. God's with him. He's a slave in an Egyptian home. God is with him. He's in prison on a fake Trump charge of rape. It was fake news. It wasn't true. But God was with him. Can I tell you this? It doesn't matter what you and I have coming in our future, what we have going right now. The single belief inside of people who are foresight people goes, it doesn't matter what comes. God's with me. God's with me. There are piles of Christians who don't walk with the God is with me mentality. They walk with, I'm alone. No. It says bluntly that Joseph succeeded in everything he did. Why? Because God was with him. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you go through, when you go through it, how difficult it's going to be, God is with you. Foresight people have that as a stronghold. Would you write down number two? Would you write down, I have a word. I have a word. Joseph had a word. Jane and I had a word when all hell was unleashed against us to keep us out of ministry. We had a word. Foresight people, when they get the bad report from the doctor, they're not freaking out. Do you know why? They have a word. What is the word? And we've heard them say it. They look at the doctor and go, I hear what you're saying. That might be the fact, but let me tell you the truth. By his wounds, I have been. They have a word. When people are freaking, when people are taking chemo, when people are taking radiation, when they're destroying their immune system that God gave them, people with a word go, I have a word. That word is going to hold me. That word is going to heal me. That word is going to put me back on my feet. I'm not 120 yet. That word will hold them. Let me just say it again. If you don't have a word going through this storm or any other storm, you're going down. You're going down. But you have a word. Let all on hell be released against you. It will not take you. Would you write down number three? Would you write down the word obedience and then just put a slash? And then would you write bloom where I'm planted? Bloom where I'm planted. Have you ever heard that? Can I ask you a question? When Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's home, did he bloom where he was planted? Did he? I would love to say that in the midst of all that's going on in America and around the world right now with Black Lives Matter. Wouldn't you love to be able to say, bloom where you're planted? That's not just true with blacks. That's true with every one of us. This is Joseph as a slave in a foreign land because of his heart, because he had a word. What did God do? Can I tell you this? There's a lot of people when things start going not good in their life, they give up their morals, they give up their values, they go, well, who cares? I'm going to start doing this anyway. Not a person with a word. A person with a word goes, I'm in the bottom of a well. God, what do you want me to do here? I will be obedient in the bottom of a well. Huh, I'm walking behind camels and they're crapping in front of me and I got to walk around it. God, what's the obedience? What do you want me to do here, God? I want to bloom where I'm planted. And if I'm planted right now behind a camel and I'm walking into slavery, I want to bloom here. I want to bloom. Can I tell you, Joseph bloomed in Potiphar's house as a slave. Joseph bloomed in prison. Did he bloom in prison? I got to just say this to you men. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Men, every one of us as men, sometime in our lifetime, maybe more than once, we are going to be seduced by the enemy through a female other than our spouse. We are going to be seduced. Let's be blunt. It may not be a gorgeous Potiphar's wife who has all the ointments and all the robes and all the beauty standing in front and going, I want you to have me. Let's go to my bed. It may not be standing that way, but I'll tell you, every one of us is going to be seduced. That's a design of the enemy on every man. You know how many godly men have been taken down by that seduction? You know how many political men have been taken down by that seduction? I will never forget what Chuck Swindoll said. Powerful statement. He goes, it takes 40 years to build a tree. It takes a few chops of an axe to break it down. He goes, that's the way it is with a man's character. You can be faithful for 40 years, and in one evening, the axe can chop you, and you can lose your ministry, your marriage, your children, your reputation, your business. You can lose all of it in one evening with a few chops. Do you know why I love Joseph? When the devil stood in front of him in a red dress, said, I want you. Can I ask you a blunt question? Do you think Jesus was tempted by the enemy through the opposite sex? Let's be really blunt. It happened to Abraham. It happened to Solomon. It happened to David. We could go down the list, couldn't we? What? Just because you're a godly man in a position of power makes you immune to be tempted by the enemy through someone of the opposite sex? No, no, no. Let me tell you just really bluntly. You and I need to be at a place, men, you and I need to be at a place when they walk out and stand in front of you and say, I want you, when they walk out naked and say, I want you now, we need to look at like Joseph and go, obedience. I'm not changing my morals. I'm not changing my life. I'm not giving it up. You know why? Because I have a word. That word will hold you when nothing else will hold you. In the middle of your worst tragedy, the person with foresight who has a word goes, God, how do I bloom here? I'm in prison on a trumped up charge. God, what's the obedience for me here? How do I glorify you here? What do you want me to do here? How do I bloom here? Did you write down number four? Would you write down thankfulness? Developing an attitude of thankfulness. Just write down 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all things, what? Now, I don't know. It doesn't have it in Scripture, but can I ask you a question? If Joseph is in the bottom of the well and he's aware of the fact that God is with him, do you think there's a thankfulness inside of him? God, thank you that I'm not alone. Thank you that you're going to get me out of here. Thank you that you're going to fulfill the word that you gave me. He's walking behind the camels. Do you think there's thankfulness? I can tell you a pile of believers who aren't even walking behind camels where crap is falling in front of them, and they're not even thankful. They're not in the bottom of a well, they're not as a slave, and they're not in a prison on a faked up charge, and they're still not thankful. You find the character of a person when you put them into a tough spot. Watch what comes out of their mouth. God, I'm so thankful that you're here with me. I'm so thankful you're going to turn this around. I'm so thankful you're going to take what the enemy means for evil. I'm so thankful that what was stolen from me is coming back in spades. You think Joseph got to where he does because he was a whiner and a complainer? Do you think he got there because out of his mouth came all the spew of the world? Do you think so? I challenge you to listen to your own mouth sometime. I challenge you to record yourself when you're not listening. I hope that makes sense to you. If not, give other people permission to be your recorder and just to say back to you, boy, you're whining like a French wine right now. Boy, that doesn't sound like a man of God to me. You sound like a dripping tap. Your wife should probably go live in the corner of a rooftop. Would you write down number 6? Oh, number five was thankfulness. Did I miss one? Oh, I did. Leave that as number 4. Now number 5. Would you write down the word growth? And then / preparation. Write down the word growth and preparation. Do you know what foresight people who have a word? Can I tell you? When I had that man doing everything in his power, and can I just say this to you? This is like, I came to Camrose 1994, began in ministry. Never thought I'd be back. I was here in Bible school 1979 to 81. David was in Bible school a few years after me. 1994, we'd received 4 calls to different churches, 3 different provinces. God laid on our heart to come to Camrose, a church of 20 people. When I got to Camrose, guess who moved to Camrose 1 month later to pastor a church here? Guess who came? My advisor, who did everything in his power to kill God's call on my life. 1 month later, he came to Camrose and he pastored a different church. Thank you, Jesus. I will tell you, though, that I had to get my heart right as I began praying for that man, and hold no offense. In less than a year, the man died of cancer. Wasn't even 60. There were 9 individuals in my ministry career before and during who did everything in their power to remove me from ministry, who within a short period of time all died or were killed. 9 individuals. Can I just say to you, when you have a word and you're trusting God to get there, don't worry about anybody who comes against you. Don't worry about them. Do you know why? God will look after them. Or their sin will open a door and the enemy will take them out. God didn't kill these people. The enemy did. You know what held me? A word. But can I tell you, in the midst of all that they put me through, God said really clearly, Colin, I need to get your heart right before you begin ministry. I need to develop your character because it's not there yet. I need to mature you. I need to put the fruits of the Spirit in you. Can I say to you, every trial you and I go through, every well that Joseph was in, every slave thing he did, every prison he was in, prepared him for the fulfillment of the call of God in his life to stand at the right hand of Pharaoh and not be arrogant about it, but to walk in absolute humility. I'm not here because of me. God put a call, and he's with me. Hindsight people are going, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why are those things so tough? Why? I don't understand it. God, where are you? People here go, God, use this. Make me Christ-like. Shape me. Make me more like you. You get to a point when trials come your way, you go, God, I don't want to miss a single thing you want to teach me here, because if I miss it, I'm going to have to go through it again. I learned that one. Most of us in trials go, whatever it takes, God, get me out of here. And we get out of there. We missed it. We missed all that we were supposed to learn. You get to a point where you go, God, I remember getting to a point going, God, don't take me out of this until I've learned it. Don't take me out. Leave me in this trial. Leave me in this cave. Leave me in the bottom of the well until I've learned it. Is that a crazy prayer? No, that's a God prayer. And when you have a word, when you have a word, those things don't scare you. Now we're in number six. Those of you who are not taking notes, you're way smarter than me. Either that or your wife is taking notes. Number six. Would you write down, seek the welfare of the city. Seek the welfare of the city. Just write down Jeremiah 29, verse 7. How many of you can quote to me Jeremiah 29, 11? How many of you can quote that to me? Just raise your hand if you can quote it. For I know the what? I know the plans. Can you quote to me the four verses before that? I encourage you again, take the famous verses and read before them and after them. There's some good things in there. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, Jeremiah says this, you are going into captivity. You're going to be in bondage for 70 years. When you get there, seek the welfare of the city. Be a blessing to the people who hold you captive. Can I say to you, hindsight people, when they're going through trial, what is their attitude toward the people who are lying about them, falsely accusing them, putting them into a bad point? What's their attitude about those people? What is it? Oh, if I wasn't a Christian, I would take you out and you'd see Jesus face to face. Can I tell you what foresight people do? Joseph in Potiphar's home said, God, would you make me a blessing to Potiphar? Would you bless Potiphar because I'm here? Would you prosper his home? Would you prosper his marriage? Would you prosper his family? Foresight people go, the people who are coming against me, God, use me to bless them. Is that weird? Yeah, it's weird. Do you know why? Because it's not natural. You know what it is? It's supernatural. Why did God choose Joseph to be the man at the right hand of Pharaoh? Can I tell you why? Because when he went through trial, it made him better. Not bitter, it made him better. Can I tell you what disqualifies a whole pile of Christians right now? A trial comes their way, their response, God looks and goes, I can't trust them. Difficulty comes, persecution comes, people come against them, people rail against their reputation. Look at what happens to them. They become a person of the flesh. I can't trust them with power. I can't trust them with authority. I can't trust them at the right hand of Pharaoh. People disqualify themselves when they go through trial. Or else, they qualify themselves. I will tell you one of the most affirming words I have heard in my entire life spoken through a man. Six of us had the opportunity to travel to Australia and sit under the teaching of John Alley. Jane and I, one day, we had the privilege of staying at John Alley's home. Judy stayed at John's daughter's home, I believe. One day, Jane and I were driving with John Alley, who was known to be a prophet, an apostle, over many churches, over many countries. We were driving in a vehicle. We were talking about the leadership split that had taken place in the church, the attempt by half of the leaders of the church to remove me, to destroy my character, destroy my marriage, destroy my ministry, destroy my reputation, destroy my ability to minister in Camrose. It was an absolute all-out attempt to destroy everything in my life. God took that and turned it and worked it for good. We were driving with John Alley down a road in Australia, looking for kangaroo. We were talking about this. John Alley was driving. He turns around and he says this. He said, one of the qualifications for apostleship is that you go through an intense experience where people are seeking to take you out of ministry and you come out of it with no offense in your heart. He looked at me and he said, Colin, I find no offense in you. I don't expect that word to have a fraction of the impact on you that it had on me. For an apostle of God who functions with the Spirit of God to be able to look through me with the eyes of God and to know my heart and to say, Colin, I find no offense in you. Then he said, you are qualified for apostleship. Love your enemy? Do you think Joseph prayed for Potiphar and his wife? God bless them, prosper them. I'm their slave, but prosper the city. Do you think he prayed for Potiphar's wife after he ended up in jail because she lied about him? God bless her. Hindsight people want to get out of the trial. Foresight people go, God, bless my oppressors. Bless the Babylonians. Bless the mayor of this city. Bless our prime minister. Bless them. Let me be a blessing. Prosper the city. Prosper their home. Prosper the jail cell. Prosper it, God, through me. These people here, don't even worry about them. You let God deal with them. They're green fruit. God said to me, Colin, don't waste your time on green fruit. Let God bring them to a place. These people here, pray for them. You will hear it in the midst of crisis. They open their mouth. Pray for them. They need a revelation. They need a wake-up call. Put your name above foresight and begin prophesying. God, make me a foresight person. Give me a word. Let me tell you bluntly what's coming. Is it going to be easier than what we came from? No. What will hold you? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Dana, could I have you? Could I have you come? Can I just say to you, it was so nice not to have to be behind the pulpit today. Can I just say that? Would you bow with me for a moment? Holy Spirit, you are powerfully at work in every one of your children's lives, breaking us free from what the demonic has done, breaking us free from our own flesh that would have us deal with things, not according to the Spirit, but according to fear. We are aware that the design of the enemy is to make every one of us a hindsight person. We don't see it until after it's done. But Holy Spirit, thank you. That the moment you take residence inside of our life, you begin changing that. You give us a word to understand that it doesn't matter what we go through, you are with us. And you tell us that everything that we encounter, you have the ability to turn it and work it for our good. We need that revelation, God. So in the midst of it, we're thankful. In the midst of it, we're obedient. In the midst of it, we become a blessing even to those who are coming against us. In the midst of it, we become an instrument of prospering the home of our slave owner, prospering those who have us falsely accused. I thank you for Joseph. I thank you that what was written about him was written so that we could believe that if you did it with him, you can do it with me. And I thank you that it doesn't matter what's coming between now and when you take us home with you. I thank you it doesn't matter what is coming. Your word will hold us. Your word will prosper us. Father, right now, you know You know every person who needed to hear this word today. Right now, they are in the bottom of the well. They have no idea how they're getting out. Right now, there are those who are walking behind a camel, going in a direction they never thought they would go. Today, Father, there are people in slavery. Slavery to debt. Slavery to fear. Slavery to worthlessness. Slavery to sickness. Today, there are people who are behind the bars of oppression. They have been lied about. They have been falsely accused. And they have been forgotten. Today, Holy Spirit, walk through the bars. Remind them they're not alone. Remind them that the Father has a word for them. Right where they are, He has a word for them that will not only hold them, but will get them out and get them to the right hand of where they're supposed to be. Right now, would you speak? Right now, Father, it is going to be your words speaking into your children that will make the shift. Right now, would you speak? I just sense right now, Holy Spirit, you are stirring in the hearts of a pile of people to begin repenting. Hindsight people who've done nothing but complain. Nothing but believe they've been alone. Nothing but believe this will never change. Nothing but believe this cannot turn around for my good. If you're sensing that, just begin. Just cry out to God. He's faithful to hear you. Forgive. Undo. Father, not only are you raising up a generation for these last days, but you are wanting a people to be free today. It doesn't matter if you come back tomorrow or 100 years. Today, you are wanting us to walk with the freedom that Joseph had, with the anointing that Joseph had, and even more, because you dwell inside, not just with. Wherever you are, I declare to you, you are not alone. As you seek the face of God and as you seek to walk in obedience, you will not stay at the bottom of the well. You will not stay behind the camels. You will not stay as a slave. You will not stay in the prison where you are. You will not stay there. The God who was faithful to get me from my call into ministry when every power of hell sought to keep that from happening is the God that is working in your life to fulfill the word. Seal. Seal what you have done here today. Do not allow this word to be stolen or forgotten. Holy Spirit, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. I release a grace over every person with no sight. I release a grace over every person who's bound in hindsight. I release a grace that will loose you and move you to be a foresight person. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that faith comes by hearing. I just believe faith is being released all over today. Those of you listening, I believe faith is coming to you right where you are. I prophetically declare that those in the midst of trial right now are not taken out instantly, but are changed in the midst of that trial. I declare they are no longer being bitter. I declare they are becoming better. I prophetically declare that in Jesus' name. God is faithful to fulfill the word He has given you. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. I challenge you to begin declaring the word at the bottom of the well. God, you've called me into ministry. One day I will be a pastor. They're seeking to throw you out. I declare one day I will be a pastor. They're falsely accusing me. I declare one day I will be a pastor. They're kicking me out of my training. I declare one day I will be a pastor. People of faith declare what's not yet as though it already were. They declare the word. Find that word. Seek for that word. Don't rest until you have a word. I declare to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you, and He's keeping you. The Lord has caused His face of favor to shine on you, and He's been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up His countenance upon you. And in the midst of every storm, He has filled you with His peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And everybody receiving it said, Amen. God bless you today. It's good to be back. Good to have you back. Good to be free. Have a great week. God bless you.